Today I'm going to be speaking on Psalm 46, which is one of my favourite passages of the whole Bible. If you want to follow it, there's Bibles in the shelves at the back, if anybody wants to get one. And I'm going to ask John to come and read it for us.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Amen. Well, typical, the technology didn't work this morning. I spent loads of time last night preparing this PowerPoint with different pictures for you to look at, and it didn't work. So I'm sorry about that. I'll just have to describe to you what was going to be on the screen, and you'll have to use your imagination. I'm sure you're all brilliant at that anyway, so it's fine. But the first thing I really wanted to show you was a picture of the tapestry that hangs above the fireplace in our house. And it's a tapestry, it's a sampler that my mum made for me for my 21st birthday. Although actually, I don't think I actually got it till I was about 23, because it took her that long to finish it. But anyway, it's beautiful, and it's really special to me because it has on it all the places I lived between the ages of 0 and 21. So in one corner we've got Bolsover in Derbyshire, where I lived as a small child. Then there's Bristol, which is where I lived while my dad was training to be a minister. And then we've got Leicester, where I spent my teenage years. And then in the other corner, we've got London, which is where I did my degree, my first degree. And then in the middle, there's a violin, and there's like a symbol of the theatre, because that was the two hobbies I most enjoyed when I was growing up, with music and theatre and acting. Although I don't really seem to get much chance to do any of those things anymore, so perhaps we should have a crying baby and work or something. But anyway. But then round the edge of the tapestry, my mum put these four Bible verses, and they all come from this psalm, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. Be still and know that I am God. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. And of course, when the writer of this psalm is talking about her, God is within her, he's not talking about a person, but he's talking about a place. He's talking about a city, the holy city of Jerusalem. But I don't think it's too big of a leap to take that and put me in there. God is within me. God is within her. She will not fall. And it's like my mum's prayer for me. A declaration that God will stick by me and that he's faithful to me. So it's a really special psalm to me, this. But I'm not going to go through it verse by verse today. I'm just going to share with you a few really simple thoughts from this psalm, which I hope speak to some of you today. And some of it was actually quite surprising to me as I was reflecting on it. Some new things came out that I'd never seen or thought about before. So I just wanted to share them with you today. So the first point that comes out of this psalm for me is a really simple one. God is here. God is present. God is here. He's with us. Verse 1 says, God is an ever-present help in trouble. The refrain that comes up twice in the psalm says, the Lord Almighty is with us. And in the holy city of Jerusalem, we read that God is within her. He is present. He is here. And we sang it earlier, didn't we? Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. And we've been inviting Jesus to come in and eat with us. He's real. He's here. At the time this psalm was written, the context for the Jews was that they were a small and relatively weak nation, quite vulnerable, surrounded by hostile tribes who were out to destroy them, really. And so we read about these raging seas, earthquakes, mountains falling into the depths of the sea in the opening verses of the psalm. And for the Israelites, those things were symbolic of their enemies, the people around them who were oppressing them on every side. If we read 2 Kings, chapters 18 and 19, we read the story of King Hezekiah. And in this story, Jerusalem was being besieged by the Assyrian army. This is just one example of when the surrounding tribes and forces sought to oppress them. And the king of Assyria was a real bully, and he was taunting and posturing against Hezekiah. And taunting and posturing against God. And he said this, do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, the Lord will deliver us. Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand? So he's saying, your God can't rescue you. Your God isn't going to stand against me. Your God can't do it. And we can imagine that the Israelites might have used this psalm, or maybe written it as a response to this situation, as a declaration, as a rejoinder to say, no, God is here. Our God is with us. God is our strength. God is our refuge. God will help us at break of day. Even though we're being besieged by this army all around our city, we don't need to be afraid. God will deliver us. God is with us. And of course, if you read the end of the story, that's what happens. God does deliver them miraculously from the Assyrian army, and it does happen at break of day. But I think that can be applied to our situations too. And sometimes we have taunting voices in our ears that say, where is your God? Your God can't help you. God doesn't exist. Maybe you have to listen to voices like that all the time, and it wears you down. It rocks your faith. When I was a teenager, I had a boyfriend who was really anti-God and very hostile against God. And it wears you down. If you're hearing that all the time, it wears you down. We hear it on telly, on the radio, and it wears us down. And sometimes it comes from ourselves. It's our own mind saying, God's not real. God's not there. It's our doubts that say, he doesn't really exist. And sometimes there's terrible things happening in our lives, when our lives just seem to be in chaos. As in verses 2 and 3 of the psalm, if you could put verses 2 and 3 up, Paul, we see this scene of chaos, like at the beginning of the world, really, when it says, the earth gives way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And it says, don't be afraid, we will not fear. But there seems to be lots of good reason to be afraid. And often in our lives, we have really good reasons to be afraid. Sometimes our faith feels like it's clinging by a thread. We feel like we're not on solid ground, like our lives have been turned upside down by health problems, by family problems, by difficulties at work, anxiety, doubt and despair. But the message of this psalm to us today is this simple one: God is here. He's moving. He's real. He's powerful. He has the power to still the storms. He has the power to silence the taunting voices and bring them on their knees before him. And things may look bad for us, but God is a refuge. He's a rock that we can shelter under to take the batterings of the storm for us. God is within us. We will not fall. God will help us at break of day. So the second thing I wanted to talk about is in verse 4, the river. And this really is the second point, that God wants to bless us. God is here, and God wants to bless us. So we read this: there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And this is the surprising bit, really, that I hadn't really thought about much when I'd studied this psalm before, but it's really spoken to me this time when I've read it through and reflected on it. These verses, this verse here, verse 4, it's talking about Jerusalem, the holy city. And lots of cities have a river running through them, don't they? So we think of the EastEnders theme tune, and you think about that river, the Thames, wiggling its way through London. And other cities, we think of Paris, Liverpool, you know, these big iconic rivers that run through the city. And this psalmist here is talking about a river running through Jerusalem. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. But the funny thing is, you know, Jerusalem doesn't have a river as such. And it never did. Jerusalem is not like London or Paris. There's no big river running through it. So what is this river the writer is talking about? Where's this river? And then you realise that he's not talking about a literal river running through Jerusalem. He's talking about a different kind of river. The river of God. The river of God's blessing. Now, we sometimes sing a song here in Penrafft. You know, the river of God sets our feet a-dancing, that one. And I think if anybody sort of wandered in off the street, they'd probably think, what on earth are they doing? Because generally we're not actually dancing when we sing it. And it says the river of God fills our hearts with cheer. And quite often I'm like, oh, when I'm singing it. And what's this river anyway? What's it talking about? But this has really brought it alive for me, because it's a picture of God's blessing. And this metaphor of the river of God's blessing, runs through scripture, and we find it popping up everywhere. So first of all, just have a look at Psalm 36, verses 7 to 9. There's a clue here. And it says, how priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They're talking about God's refuge again. They feast in the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. So that's that picture again of the river of delights, God's river. And then if we look at Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel is a prophet, and this is a vision that God has given to the prophet Ezekiel. And this is about a river that's flowing out from the temple of God. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. Remember, this is a vision, so this is the prophet being led in his vision. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. From En Gedi to En Eglai, and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." So this is a picture of a great river of God's blessing pouring out from the temple in Jerusalem and just watering the countryside all around. And this river is the symbol of God at work. I've just picked out a couple of examples from the Old Testament there. The river sustains and satisfies those who live near it. The river makes the sea fresh. It has a cleansing effect, a healing effect. The river is creative. It's teeming with life. The fruit trees that grow by the river do not wither. There's no death. There's no dying. And this river is flowing from the riverless Jerusalem, straight out of God's temple, and blessing those who live around. And I think that really speaks to us of God's blessing and how God wants to bless us and how God wants us to be a blessing, coming out of the church, pouring out into our communities around us and being a blessing, creative, life-giving, healing, ministering to those around us. And again, Jesus picks on this theme when he talks to the woman at the well in John's Gospel. He talks about the living water. And he says, "Whoever drinks it will never be thirsty. And the water Jesus gives will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And then finally, it comes up again in the very last chapter of the Bible. This is Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 2. Another vision. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." So again, there's this picture of a living, creative, healing river. This is the river the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 46. It's the river of God's blessing, the river whose streams make glad the city of God. So that's my second very simple point. God wants to bless us. He wants to make us glad. He wants to bring life and healing and creativity. Now, there's a reason why that vision is from Revelation. Those things are from the end of the world, and they're not going to have their fulfillment until the very end of all things. But for now, we are the city of God. We, the church, are God's temple. And we are the place where he dwells. We are God's temple here on earth. And God wants to refresh us and bring us alive and then use us to refresh and heal and help those around us. The reason I focus so much on this verse is that while I was preparing this sermon, I had a text message from one of my home group members, which said this. I'm not going to tell you who it is, in case they're worried. "Hi, Debs. I just know that God gave me a picture of what's to come. Look what pictures I just posted on Facebook this morning. That's me just dipping my toes into the refreshing, powerful, life-giving river of God's love. Imagine when I'm swimming." I just thought that was amazing. And I wasn't going to show you the actual pictures, but I was going to show you sort of similar ones. I looked at these pictures on Facebook, and there were two pictures. And the first photo was one of our North Walian rivers, a powerful rushing river thundering down from its source in the hills. And the second picture was of a little girl on the edge of the river, just dipping her toes into the water. I'm sure it was quite cold, knowing what our rivers are like. And at the end of the text message, it said, P.S., you can use this in your sermon if you like. So I have done. I thought, God, I can't argue with that, really. I just think that's a picture for us today. And I hope maybe it speaks to some of you. It's that river of God's love and blessing. And whereabouts are we in that river? Are we just dipping our toes in? Are we ankle deep? Are we knee deep? Are we waist deep? And God says, imagine when you're swimming. Imagine when we're swimming. And I just feel I'm just dipping my toes in at the moment. God's got so much he wants to give us and wants to do in our lives, and so much he wants to use us for. And I just think I'm dipping my toes in, and maybe we need to be swimming. So let's just take the opportunities that we have to receive prayer, to study God's word, to receive from him. And in the quiet of our hearts as well, just to allow God's spirit to move in our lives and to move in our church, to get deeper with God. We can trust him. He's our strength. He's our refuge. We don't need to be afraid. So God is here, first of all, and God wants to bless us. And the final thing I just wanted to share with you, the final thought, is a word of encouragement for those of us that are struggling, really, that God will sort things out. And the psalm is very definite about this. So let's just read verses 9 and 10. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And then we get the voice of God breaking through. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And we can take this at several different levels, really. This week, we've seen a terrorist atrocity basically happening on a London street. And then we've also seen the backlash from that of sort of racism and ill feeling and hatred. And we do need to know deep down that God will sort things out. We see war and violence on our TV screens in Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq. But we know that God will make wars cease to the ends of the earth, and the nations will live in peace. And as we heard from Revelation, the leaves of the tree will be for the healing of the nations. So that's on a sort of level, global level, really. And then in terms of our own corner of Wales, as an incomer to North Wales, who's learnt Welsh and lives in Bethesda, I'm very conscious of the sort of linguistic and cultural oppression that's been inflicted on Welsh people by English people right over down the centuries, really. And again, I take comfort from this, that despite the divisions that still exist today, God will sort things out. He says, be still. He says, enough is enough. He makes wars cease. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted on the earth. And then on a personal level, God will sort things out. I'm not talking about a sort of romantic film, shiny, happy, sort of Mills and Boone happy ending. It's not that kind of sorting things out. It's an apocalyptic sort of end of the world sorting things out. We might go through earthquakes and storms, but we can have faith that in the end, love wins. God will sort things out. When he says, be still and know that I am God, on the one level, yes, it's a call to be quiet and listen to God. But on another level, it's Jesus shouting to the wind and the waves, "Be quiet, be still, enough is enough." He's saying, "Be still," to the warmongers. He's saying, "Be still," to the cruel dictators. He's saying, "Be still," to the global corporations who don't care for the poor and needy. He's saying, "Be still," to cancer, to malaria, to malnutrition and hunger, to poverty and injustice. He's saying, "Be still," to those voices that taunt and mock him. He's saying, "Be still," to the bullies at work that get at you. He's saying, "Be still," to the person who's abused and betrayed you. And he's saying, "Be still," to that voice in your own head that puts you down. He's saying, "Enough is enough. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." So God is here. And God wants to bless us. And God will sort things out. We can have faith. We can trust him. He will sort things out. Jesus has already won the victory. We're just waiting for that end time when everything will be sorted out. So as we move into communion together, we celebrate God's presence here in our midst. And we can say of the church, and we can say of ourselves, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are present with us today. Sometimes we feel besieged. We feel like we're going through storms and earthquakes. But we know that we don't need to be afraid. You're within us. You are here. You're our fortress. You're our strength. You're our refuge. Still our hearts now, as we prepare to take communion, and we pray that your presence would rest upon us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.